agenda item 4, Scatter Creek Wildlife Area. And this is a briefing. Cynthia Wilkerson, please.
Good morning, Chair Carpenter and Commission. Great to be with you this morning. You may have been missing the, you're not missing the Lands Division because we're always present, but you've been the real estate section. I wanted to give you a quick update that we have hired a new real estate services manager, Karen Edwards, who comes to us with vast experience from state parks and DNR, even a little time at DOT and RCO. So I think you may be hearing from her for land transactions next month. It's been an unusual little hiatus. So with that, I did want to I'm gonna do just a brief introduction. And I think that Derek Lowry, our wildlife area manager at Scatter Creek, and Lori Vigue, our wildlife area planner. I think Derek's gonna share the PowerPoint. And Derek and Lori are gonna take us through the body of work that I'm really excited to be here today to be able to offer you. We hear so much about people's perspectives and views and different experiences with wildlife areas. And we've been doing over the past 5 or so years, really a new body of comprehensive work as we update our wildlife area plans. And we have Lori Vigue and Patricia Yakdak, who are our two planners that work with our district level teams to integrate all of the priorities and needs related to across the board, our mission and how they relate to the wildlife areas in the state. And so I'm hoping that this is the first of many as we go through and update these plans to really highlight for you the value of these places and what we're doing in them, and really to showcase them and be proud of these places and what we're doing, and really to also highlight the fact that we have robust engagement from our wildlife area advisory committees. So it's a great showcase, really, of how we're involving, you know, the values and the voices and innovating across DFW's programmatic needs and how they come to bear on a place. And those are our wildlife areas. So with that, I think I will let Lori and Derek take it away. Excited to hear this story and have you engage with it today.
Hey, Derek, can you change the slide? Like we can see the notes and the next slide and stuff. So change the view.
Thank you. Will do.
Sorry, Lori. I'm sure you guys were on at 7:30 this morning, but I didn't have power, so.
No worries. There we go.
Much better.
Good morning. My name is Lori Vigue, and I'm a wildlife area planner with the Lands Division. This is a brief introduction to wildlife area planning. We are in the process of developing 10-year wildlife area management plans for 33 wildlife areas statewide. The last plan, series of plans, were written in 2006. And just so you know, the planning process is consistent with the DFW mission and the strategic plan. Next slide. So far, we've completed 10 wildlife area plans. We've been doing this since about, 2012. We started up the process. We're also actively writing 3 plans, the South Puget Sound Wildlife Area, the Columbia Basin, LT Murray, Skagit is restarting this spring, and the Metau planning process will begin in the late spring. Okay, next slide. We include a comprehensive outreach process. We have in these plans, it also includes a comprehensive list of goals and objectives that are developed by a cross-program staff from the regions and headquarters. So we basically integrate all of fish, habitat, wildlife, and enforcement values into the plans. They're very holistic. And then the completed plans are posted on the agency's website. And what's new from the last plans? This is a list of partial list. It's mostly comprehensive of what the new topics in the plans include. We also have in the introduction, the success stories, which kind of gives an overview of all of the things we're proud of that we're doing on the wildlife areas. The plans are more robust and collaborative. We also include ecological integrity, although the monitoring, that's a goal, although it's on hold right now due to funding. The plan includes climate change section with measures. And after the plan is final, it just doesn't get shelved. It's actually, it goes into an implementation phase where it, let's see. Okay. I think you're on the next, you didn't go to the next slide. Sorry, Derek. I forgot. Okay. So this is the slide that I was just talking about. Anyway, it includes climate change with measures developed by the planning team. After the plan is final, it goes into an implementation phase. So the wildlife area manager at least annually reviews the list of goals and objectives and takes it to the regional district teams where they monitor and record progress. And then we have two-year planning updates that are posted on the agency's website every 2 years. Next slide. And we do have an expanded public outreach. During the scoping phase, we develop a comprehensive list of stakeholders prior to the first public meeting. And for the Scatter Creek plan, we had one public workshop. Unfortunately, due to COVID, we couldn't do a second workshop because of the when the plan was drafted, which was unfortunate. We had three Wildlife Area Advisory Committee meetings. And they all contributed to the final draft plan. We had a SEPA 30-day public review last summer. And then all of the comments from the public that we received are in the Appendix E in the plan. And you should all have copies of the plan in your, I think, in your file folder as well. Next slide. Okay, and we developed a new Wildlife Area Advisory Committee. It was developed in 2018 at the startup of the planning process. It includes 16 members, and these are key stakeholders, including recreation users, conservation organizations, local citizens, and governments, including the local fire district. And then the advisory committee will continue to function into the life of the plan. Typically, they meet at least annually, and they weigh in on important wildlife area decisions and plan updates. Thank you. That's my presentation. If you have questions, or we can go on to Derek Lowry, the wildlife area manager.
Any questions for Lori? Okay, next, please. Oh, excuse me, Commissioner Kuntz.
Yeah, just a real brief question. I was wondering if in the plans, I know we talk about sort of the science, it gets sort of integrated in different sections, but I was wondering if there was any thought about actually taking out or creating a section that highlights science needs for the next 10 years, identify certain research questions. Because I found that useful in the past in other projects, that even if the department can't necessarily address them all, you know, there's graduate students and other volunteer organizations. And anyway, so I was just wondering about whether the scientific needs are addressed in the plan.
Definitely. Yeah, that's part of the comprehensive list of goals and objectives. We have those developed by FISH program, diversity, wildlife program staff. So we try to include all the species experts that are they in the game division. They all have important contributions. They look at recovery plans and try to plug information in from the recovery plans into these so that they're highlighted. And we also include links to those recovery plans so we have the background. And Scatter Creek does have a very broad, very intensive, comprehensive species list because there's so many diversity species there. And this plan, each plan is very unique too. That's the thing that's really interesting, is not, they're all so different. So it's actually really fun to put them together, because they're just, Scatter Creek is like a showcase for the agency. So I think it's something we're really proud of.
That's great. Thanks.
Cynthia, are we ready to go to Derek?
Yes, I just made, Commissioner Kuntz, thank you again for the question. Thanks, Commissioner Chair Carpenter. I do think that there is room for some deliberate examination of management-related questions on science, and I think maybe sometimes that gets in there, and sometimes we could be more, like I said, deliberate about doing that. So appreciate the question and the comment. Welcome, Derek.
Thank you. Thank you, Cynthia. Appreciate the introduction. Yeah, Derek Lowry, Wildlife Area Manager. I'm fortunate to be able to manage the Scatter Creek Wildlife Area. I also manage the North Olympic Wildlife Area and the South Puget Sound Wildlife Area. And of course, today we're focusing on the Scatter Creek Wildlife Area. Before I get into too many of the details of the plan, I wanted to speak a little bit to the previous slide about the Wildlife Advisory Committee. I've been just truly grateful to be able to collaborate with them. They're such just a great group and diverse group of folks. They really help me stay on target and help me in balancing the complex needs on the wildlife area. And to reiterate what Lori previously discussed, we recently completed this planning process. It was written, and it'll guide me for the next 10 or so years into the future. And this plan replaces the 2006 version. I also to add on the 30-day public review on the SEPA that we had. We did have an in-person public meeting, and we did have a virtual public meeting as well, and where we received additional comments. So let's see if this will go to the next slide for me. There we go. So you're probably wondering where the Scatter Creek Wildlife Area is. It is located in South Thurston County and has one unit in Grays Harbor County. It consisted of 3,500 acres on 6 units as of this week. It is now 7 units and consists of 3,700 acres approximately, and still growing. Within the Scatter Creek Wildlife Area, there's the Black River Unit, Glacial Heritage, West Rocky, Scatter Creek proper, Skookumchuck, and the New Miami Creek Unit. And as I said, those are all located in South Thurston County, really between Olympia and Centralia. And then the Davis Creek Unit is located just southeast of Grays Harbor County, outside of Oakville. All the Scatter Creek Wildlife units reside within the Chehalis River Basin. The water bodies on these units are key tributaries to the Chehalis River and support a vast array of fish and wildlife species, as you can imagine. Much of the wildlife area units are in close proximity to DNR lands, as well as other governmental and nonprofit conservation lands, and are bordered by numerous private landowners. So like most plans in our agency, we have vision statements, and we crafted one here with the help of the Wildlife Advisory Committee and the planning team. And the vision statement for the new Scatter Creek Wildlife Area Plan is, we envision resilient prairie, oak woodlands, and wetland habitats that support diverse native flora and fauna unique to the Chehalis Basin and South Puget Sound, while providing quality recreation, education, and research opportunities. So next I want to share with you the primary focus in the Scatter Creek Wildlife Area. They are first critical habitat conservation and restoration for prairie game and aquatic species, floodplain conservation, recovery of federal and state listed species, public recreation, both consumptive and non-consumptive, as well as scientific studies and research. So related to the focus in the wildlife area, this slide lists the original purpose of acquisition and demonstrates the range of management. Goes from game management to overseeing mitigation sites to recreation focused lands and of course conservation of habitat. And so Scatter Creek was purchased or acquired in the 60s and 70s and is a bit over 1,000 acres. Skookumchuck unit came on board in the 70s for a mitigation site, and that's almost 900 acres. Black River was acquired in the 90s, and that's about a little over 100 acres. Glacial Heritage, it came to us in about 2005, and that's 80 acres. It's in kind of an in-holding around Thurston County Park that's not regularly open to the public. West Rocky Prairie was acquired in 2006. It's 800 acres. The Davis Creek unit was the latest addition that came in 2007, which was after the last plan was published. That's 530 acres. And lastly, the Mima Creek unit, which just came on board, it's 112 acres.
Derek, if I may, Vice Chair Baker has her hand up.
Thank you. I would have let you finish with this slide, but my question is, it's a real question. I don't know the answer to this. I thought that the impetus and a lot of the funding for this, for the different Scatter Creek areas came from the Sentinel Fund and was, you know, the heart or the basis of the funding came from the military. Was I mistaken, or is that money used for maintenance, or is it just used other places and I'm just completely wrong?
Great you make that tie. Yes, the acquisition came from other sources, but yes, we do partner a great deal with DOD, Sentinel Lands, and others for the restoration efforts, the species recovery efforts. So we do partner on O&M primarily.
Thank you. Thank you for answering the question.
And similarly, we utilize a lot of RCO funds, and I'll talk about that a little bit later on for state land restoration to meet those objectives. Okay, so our, bear with me here, I jumped ahead accidentally. Okay, of course, in a plan, we want to talk about some success stories, things that are going well, before we kind of get into things we need to work on, kind of our to-do lists in our goals and objectives. And so, on the note, prairie and oak restoration, the tailed checker spot reintroduction recovery, as well as Oregon's spotted frog recovery, and all those partnerships associated with those efforts is really a big success story. As Commissioner Baker is bringing up our kind of connection to federal funding sources through Section 6 or DOD, has really helped not only just WFW, but our conservation partners in the area. So we've been really working on this for well over 15 years, but very, very solid dedication to reaching the goals and objectives and getting Taylor Checker Spot butterflies established onto the Scatter Creek unit and others in the area, and gearing up and looking for reintroductions to continue at West Rocky here in the coming years.
Derek, if I may, Commissioner Anderson has his hand up.
Okay.
Yes. Question with regard to the lands, getting back to that. So are there additional possible acquisitions that are being considered now for the area that could go towards, some of these purposes, for instance, additional properties, Mazama pocket gopher or the spotted frog? Or so I just wondered what might be in the pipeline just to being considered.
Yes, Commissioner Anderson. Yes, we are. I do have a slide that I'll speak to that, and you can see that spatially where they're at. It's definitely
isn't. I can wait.
Okay.
Thanks.
Just about there. Okay. So other success stories here are our hunt dog field trials. It's been a very vocal user group, and we've been really targeting to streamline the application process, rules, and understanding what this user group needs and how they rely upon our lands. And we conduct annual meetings and make adjustments to the process. And it's been a bit of an effort for everyone to understand each other, but it's really been paying off and have a good process in place. Another challenge that I was faced with recently after becoming the wildlife area manager was a wildfire in 2017 that some of you may recall, but swept across and burned about 345 acres of the unit, as well as other lands off the site. There's been a huge response from partners in helping us to get recovery. It's still ongoing. We're after it right now, trying to get cleaned up and get the habitat back in good, suitable condition. But it really has made us more connected with the community, got good relations with the fire managers out there from DNR and local fire authorities, and really all working together to keep fuel loads down, some preventative actions, and getting really to improve ecosystem health. So the species that we focus on in the Scatter Creek Wildlife Area and a lot of our objectives are targeted around them, but they're for supporting many imperiled species, including federally threatened endangered species of tailed checker spot, Mazama pocket gopher, Oregon spotted frog, as well as several state species of greatest conservation need, butterflies and Olympic mud minnow. And of course, things are up in the air on Oregon vesper sparrow, but we do have those on the wildlife area as well. And along with species, we have habitat. Again, habitat on this piece is primary focus of the South Puget Sound prairie ecosystem, both dry and wet prairie. Not many people know, but wet prairie is very rare, and we're happy to and pleased to have that and work with that habitat niche, as well as we have Mima Mounded Prairie. The prairie oak restoration has been a management priority on Scatter Creek Wildlife Area for over 24 years. The prairie and oak woodlands once covered about 150,000 acres in Western Washington, stretching from present day Tacoma south through the Chehalis River basin and ending just south of present day Oakville, as well as some areas in Clark County. And the key thing to know is today is less than 2.5% of that landscape remaining, and that wet prairie is even a smaller fraction of that. So the next series of slides will illustrate the key highlights for priority management activities on this wildlife area. For more details of the 13 goals and over 80 objectives, you have to see the table 7 in the wildlife area plan. These goals and objectives generally focus on benefiting the focal species previously outlined, but also target benefits for a host of other species, resources, and communities. So in here you see these pictures on the slide. Our upper or left picture there, it's a big activity that we are engaged with on the prairies and the grasslands to help and manage invasives is prescribed fire. These native prairies are accustomed to usual disturbance at a kind of minor regular occurrence. And our goals are to continue that for the benefit of the species and habitat, and as well as to reduce larger, more intense fires on the landscape.
Derek, if I may, Commissioner Thorburn has her hand up.
Okay.
Thank you. So I was wondering about, perfect slide for this, wondering about previous uses of the different areas and how much improvement of ecological integrity can be done without actual planting restoration, you know, proportionately, or how much really requires replanting?
Yeah, we have some areas, speaking of to our other habitats, riparian takes a minor level of maintenance and upkeep. Our forested environments take probably even a little bit lighter of a management touch, kind of bigger management approaches less often. But prairies take, prairie habitats kind of take a consistent maintenance and management need. To answer your question about planting versus not, is we have a number of areas that have a good diversity of native forbs and grasses, and it's fairly light on invasive species. Other areas are not as fortunate, are either degraded from invasives or have lost for a number of reasons that native habitat or quality. Those take more intensive, so it's a little bit finer brushstroke of operations and management, and so hopefully that answers your question. That there are areas where we don't need it, and there are areas where we definitely need it, or we need to do more, and we're constantly trying to keep that balance out there.
Thank you.
And so you got to me before the picture below. The picture below is a local tribal crew that we're helping train up to do prairie restoration on their own tribal lands. And they're assisting us post prescribed burn to plant these native forbs and grasses to benefit. Here specifically, they're working at West Rocky Prairie to help us get it ready for checker spot reintroductions to happen here, hopefully within 2 years. So some of the goals under ecological integrity is increased weed management efforts, improve riparian forest health through fuel reduction and reducing wildfire risk. It's a big piece now, especially on Scatter Creek, but also getting ahead of it on some of our other units, as well as secure additional funding for the conservation restoration acquisition and operations. And I'll go into those details a little bit more. Some of the objectives under the achieved species diversity at levels consistent with healthy ecosystems goal. It's a bit of a mouthful. It says a lot and very important. But we were looking to coordinate with diversity and game division, just making sure that we're reaching the priorities that they have set, and really looking to do that on a more than annual basis, but certainly reoccurring and often. We also want to restore, protect, and maintain, as well as create habitat where it's needed, and survey, monitor, and document the species presence. So I guess an earlier question about science and needs and questions. Here we still have a lot of unknown. And in the plan, we talk about what we do know and where we have data gaps. And this objective really gets it at trying to fill in some of those data gaps. You know, as I mentioned earlier, we have a need to monitor about 9 different species of greatest conservation need within the Scatter Creek Wildlife Area. Some of those include the Marron Skipper, Sonora Skipper. We have the last remaining population of that on West Rocky Prairie in our kind of ecoregion. The Valley Silver Spot, Puget Blue Butterfly, Puget Sound Fritillary, Oregon Brandon Skipper, Hoary Elephant, Propertius Duskywing. Most of these are butterflies, but they are species that we know some about, and we have some data gaps, but we do know that they are imperiled. Objectives also include for Western Gray Squirrel, Western Pond Turtle, Water Hoelia, which is a federally listed plant, and the Oregon Vesper Sparrow, as I talked about earlier. Okay, here gets the map about acquisitions, and thank you for being patient until I got to this point. So conservation is a strong objective in the plan. We need to coordinate with partners, continue to seek funding to acquire the available high quality oak prairie habitat and riparian habitat, as well as try to find and continue providing public access. So in this map here, you can see the stars. Those indicate sites where we are currently in some level of process of the acquisition, whether it's gone through lands 2020 have been approved, or that we're in some sort of negotiation stage. So they range all over the place. I can tell you the star in the middle there between Black River and Glacial Heritage is one that we just are wrapping, just closed on. We're looking to have permanent protection of these conservation lands, because they're essential component of the overall conservation strategy for prairies and the associated species. And this is tied to a lot of our goals in the Sentinel Landscape Partnership that some of you are familiar with. The part of the critical conservation effort, WDFW is actively pursuing acquisition of properties. And looking to collaborate with many of our local conservation partners to get these high valued lands. And again, all these stars indicate parcels that have been approved, have gone through the internal land acquisition process called Lands 2020. Does that answer earlier questions?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, great. There we go. So a few goals in the wildlife area plan focus on game, bird habitat, and waterfowl habitat, and elk. And I'll go into more detail here. Some of the game-related objectives include enhancements for band-tailed pigeon and mourning doves, as well as sustaining the pheasant hunting program and the pheasant release sites, which we have two of currently, and increase opportunities where feasible, either through acquisitions or as we're going through these acquisitions, identifying if those are suitable for that opportunity.
Derek, Commissioner Anderson has his hand up.
Yeah, this is just a short comment. I want to call people's attention to that bottom picture with the little boy, I think, and the two spaniels, and he's got a duck call, I think, in his mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it might be one of the better pictures. It made me smile last night when I looked at this.
Yeah, that's a great photo, Jim, indeed.
Yeah, I think we have a lot of, on the recreation side, a lot of different users out here, and most everyone worked pretty well together in sharing these, you know, we have diverse habitats and we have diverse uses. I like this picture, but it's sad that barn in the background burnt up and is no longer there in the 2017 wildfire. So, I treasure the picture as well. So some of the objectives under the riparian and wetland goal are to correct fish passage barriers. I know that was a topic earlier today. We have taken care of the last remaining fish passage barrier, I think, that was on our agency list, and that was at the Beaver Creek Fish Passage Project on West Rocky Prairie. So we're going to continue that as we, take on new lands, continue to meet those goals and requirements that we have for fish passage. Also looking to improve in-stream habitat complexity, installing additional Oregon spotted frog breeding ponds. That's part of the hope of one of the new acquisitions as well. More Oregon spotted frog habitat. And to maintain wetland functions and presence of beavers. They're ecosystem engineers, and they're actually very beneficial in the work we do for Oregon spotted frog and other species. Here's some more goals in the plan that are focused on recreation and stakeholder relationships. And of course, I feel it's pretty critical for us to assess appropriate recreation opportunities and maintain good working relationships in order for us to be successful on the wildlife area in helping achieve the agency goals. So the primary recreation opportunities that are on the Scattered Creek Wildlife Area include wildlife viewing, hiking, walking, photography, horseback riding, hunt dog training and trials, as well as hunting and fishing. Many of the goals and objectives within the plan provide enhancements to recreation while also protecting species and habitat at risk. So that's a lot of that balance that I rely upon the Wildlife Advisory Committee to help with. So some of these objectives are construct duck blinds and improve ADA accessibility, improve recreational infrastructure, and or add new facilities as needed, continual improvement of the field trial process and opportunities there. And so as you see in this picture, down below is a picture of a mounted field trial was underway at Scatter Creek South. And there's been some ups and downs, but we're at a pretty good point and are on a good trajectory with our field trials. And so it's a big unique opportunity, and we're well known throughout the region. We get people come from Canada, Montana, Nevada, California, and everything in between to come to these permitted events. Other related recreational objectives are really focused on trails. That's the inventory assessment and maintenance of existing trails, development of new trails, enhancing horseback riding resources and trails, improving access for fishing as well. And a unique one that I'm excited about is developing wildlife viewing guide and story maps for the wildlife area. So we also have an objective to work with Thurston County Parks in their Rails to Trails project, as one of their railways runs right through the middle of our Black River unit. And so there'll be some needed partnerships there to nurture. And on to hunting opportunities. So what we're focused on again here is to continue the pheasant release program at the existing sites and add additional ones where it's reasonable. Maintain our existing opportunities and look where we can find more. We have some turkeys in our area, our region, and some focused efforts for surveying that population and promoting opportunities accordingly. And as you can see this picture here, this is one of our participants in a hunt clinic on the Davis Creek unit. And we want to continue doing that and getting new or youth and disabled hunters interested in the sport. So many of the goals and objectives within the plan will be made possible by our partners and our stakeholders. I'll list out a few of the ways that we're looking to engage in our community folks, but to call out the pictures here, again, we have another photograph from Hunt Dog event. This is, we reach a large group of folks from across the region, and it has can have a positive outlook on our agency through these events. So we're talking 100 or thereabouts folks of these trials from throughout the Northwest, and as well as locally. And the picture down below is actually from Prairie Appreciation Day. This is an opportunity where folks can get on the Glacial Heritage Preserve, and we have an in-holding within there where people can get out there and enjoy wildlife, ask questions, talk to scientists, and many folks in our agency participate in that, have been over the years. So we're really looking to communicate and share our wildlife area management activities with our neighbors, with community groups, certainly around our prescribed burns, I'm involved a lot with communicating with neighbors on that naturally, but also our other management strategies that we have, mowing, herbicide application, those sorts of things, being more communicative on that. Looking to develop a robust volunteer program and also work with local community businesses and tourism associations to communicate the opportunities and benefits of the wildlife area. And here's a picture of that 2017 wildfire taken by one of our staff that was doing some resource advising. I was way back behind that cloud of smoke being flanked around as we were trying to get resources out of the building. But this 2017 fire was quite the catalyst for our public engagement in the area and the greater wildlife area. We have hosted a public meeting along with DNR and the local fire chief. We had over about 60 participants in that, kind of a joint meeting talking about the events, how to, you know, we talked through FireWise and fire prevention, and as well as communicated our efforts and our of species recovery and habitat recovery post the fire. So we're looking just to continue that and collaborate with our partners, CNLM, Eco Studies, to continue restoration and just keep up our relationship with the fire managers and with our neighbors. And there's also a big interest to continue maintaining the ag lease at the Davis Creek unit. The remainder of the goals focus on operations, staffing, infrastructure, and cultural resources. Sorry, I advanced through that real quick. So under the operations and maintenance or operations and management goal, really there's two things that to call out, and that's increased staff capacity and increase, identify, seek, increase resources for additional O&M funding. Currently, there's one wildlife area manager, one natural resource tech two for 3 months, and one bio one who's a project position, who's funded through state land restoration grant. We have Pittman Robert funds at about $270,000 that covers 8 units in 2 wildlife areas, and about $45,000 for 17 units in 3 wildlife areas. And again, this is for a biennium. And that state land restoration grant is about $220,000. And that's focused on prairie restoration at Scatter Creek and West Rocky Prairie. And that's where the funding for the my prairie restoration specialist comes from. And so really we're looking at 25 units in 3 different wildlife areas stretched over 7 counties that I cover, and that's about 1,300 acres here in Western Washington. Along with acquiring land, we have some challenges with infrastructure, and so this objective really gets at addressing some of those challenges we have on the ground. These pictures are of the Davis Creek unit, which was an old dairy operation that we have, and these structures are still standing in place, but they take maintenance and they take having a plan to utilize them, and we need to keep current on that. But just an example of some of what we have on the ground to manage. We're looking to also resolve administrative access challenges resulting from the fish passage project, that Beaver Creek culvert that was removed. Didn't have the funding to put in a bridge in place. And so now we are utilizing neighboring lands and agreements to access lands that we have requirements to protect and enhance listed species. So that's Oregon spotted frog, and potato tracker spot and other species. And also looking to develop a strategy to implement, as I said, removal or preservation of these buildings. That leads us into cultural resources, both from a infrastructure standpoint, but also cultural ecosystems. And so there's this is pretty unique, as I understand that there haven't been a specific outlined goal for cultural resources in previous plans, as we do have here. And our archaeology staff have helped to develop these. We're getting a lot of interest from local tribes to harvest camas, and that's the picture here on the left, which is a culturally significant crop. And we have a bit over about five tribes that are interested in participating and accessing these on the Scatter Creek Wildlife Area. So we're looking to develop awareness of this cultural resource, this culturally significant ecosystem, as well as facilitate tribal access for cultural practices through learning from them and learn from each other and doing a little bit of kind of test plots in some areas, kind of gets that research, how we can learn from things in the past and what we're doing currently and make adjustments into the future. And with that, we're willing and interested to have more discussion and take your questions. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your presentation. Questions from the commission? Commissioner Smith.
I was just wondering if they're going to have a Prairie Appreciation Day in 2021. This is just really exciting, interesting project. So love to get down there and check it out.
Thank you. Yeah, we welcome you. We got lots of things to show the commission and any staff. We have projects in various states and most any habitat you might be interested in. Aside from marine, we lack that in this one, but I got plenty in South Puget Sound Wildlife Area.
Very informative. Vice Chair Baker and then Commissioner Anderson, please.
Thank you. Mine's a comment, not a question, but I'd like Derek to pay attention because I want you to check me on this. I have raised this several times before and it always goes over with a thud, but I do feel the need to raise it again. The Scatter Creek and the surrounding wildlife areas in South Thurston County are truly gems. They are wonderful. I think the people here appreciate them, and I think that appreciation is growing. However, it hasn't always been the case. And what I want to say is relevant to our discussions that we have about community character. We talk a lot about community character. And here, what that area was recently is very small farms, kind of not rural, but not suburban either. Just small little places dotted around out there and some small communities. And what happened when the gophers, mud minnows, and checker spot butterflies were listed is that the property values of those area of the private property tanked. Not only did it tank, but other small businesses that wanted to go in, like in one case, a really controversial gravel pit, were denied. And so what we have here is this wonderful resource, and we are protecting prairies for the purpose of the recovery of minnows, frogs, and gophers, which really aren't your most popular animals in the whole world. And for a long time, we had in Thurston County and Northern Lewis County, we had a big, huge fight here. So we have money coming in to support these areas from other sources, like the mitigation fund from Joint Base Lewis-McChord. And we have several layers of authority with the ESA listings, which are both federal and state. And we have animals that we need to recover who the only recovery plan for is to give them space and to maintain their habitat. We cannot use this land. And people who own houses down there cannot build a shed, and a school can't build a sidewalk. And so the land use regulations are strictly and clearly enforced. What we don't have, and this is what I wanted to make the point of, is that we don't have any mitigation money going to any of those people. The people who owned the property when the listings came just basically lost a lot of money. And anybody who buys property down there knows that they have to make sure that there's been a gopher survey and what the regulations are. I actually support that. I support it heartily because what we're doing is preserving prairie, and we are giving these little, basically unpopular animals a chance to recover. But when we're talking about these issues in the rest of the state, we talk about community character, and we try to do things for the people who are affected by the use of the resource. And I just want to make the point that here in Thurston County, at least in this example, what has happened is that the common good has won over the maybe rights is the wrong word, of the individuals. And it is clear and it is fine and we are doing our job, but that's what community character, that's what I think of when I think of community character. And I can't help but kind of, I do feel a little bit responsible for the economic degradation that has come at the expense of those landowners in the hope for public good. So I just wanted to make that point again. I've made it over and over and over. I'll try not to say it again. Thanks, Larry.
Vice Chair Baker, I have a question. I have three people with their hands up. My question is, are those people's properties that reduced in value, do you know what's happened to their property taxes?
Oh, my guess is their taxes have gone down. I actually don't know. Okay. But my guess is they've gone down, but they certainly haven't gone down commensurate with the reduction in value. We are talking many millions of dollars here. This isn't the cost of some fish or some livestock or, you know, what hunting guides, whatever. This is big money here.
Do you have any perspective on how that could be done, how they could be made somewhat whole? I mean, that'd have to become through the legislature, would it not?
Not only am I not asking for that, I'm just asking for us to understand this perspective.
Okay.
But to the extent that I'm any pulse of the opinion around this place, I think people love these wildlife areas. And I think that the furor has died down because it's been a few years, maybe 10 years, since the last federal listing. So it happened. There was a ton of work on it. And now people are more accepting and maybe seeing that sometimes there's going to be sacrifices for public good. And this is a really good public good here.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your comments. If I may, I'm going to list all four of you folks, one man, three women, Commissioner Anderson, then Commissioner Smith, then Cynthia Wilkerson, and then Molly Linville, please.
Okay. Picking up on what Commissioner Smith brought up, the Prairie Appreciation Day, I was able to make that day in May of 2019 before I was on the commission. It was a very interesting time and presentation. I'd suggest if they still have them with the COVID period, that people do take advantage of that and get a walk around on a nice spring day. The, picking up on what Commissioner Baker just mentioned with regard to the community character, I think it's an interesting point. It's a good point. We also need to recognize that even as we speak, and what, was on the commission meeting agenda last month was the TransAlta land project and the possibility of the department securing that. And some of the pushback we're getting is around the issue of endangered species or threatened species and its implications to these local properties and local governments, people. And so, it's a fine edge. I really understand what Commissioner Baker says. I think that particular area is very unique to the state and very very needed in protection. And yet it has implications for future acquisitions. And I've mentioned this in the context of land acquisitions Eastern Washington and payment in lieu of taxes and how it's seen and perceived by locals. And I'm not sure I've got a silver bullet. I don't have a silver bullet, but I think we need to always be very cognizant of the not just the views that we bring in, like this is really neat, this is really valuable. People have been hurt, but we're getting over it, or we're trying to get over it, to where people are at still and how they look at that. I truly think that the TransAlta project, for instance, has significant value to the mission of the department and what we want to do. But I'm afraid that people are going to look at their other experiences and say, we don't want these animals creeping over onto these other properties or what have you. So I think we need to make sure that, you know, how we look at this community character is, it's not just community character, but community caring and community partnerships and how we talk and how we communicate and how we relate at all different levels as we're making decisions and as we operate properties.
Well said, Commissioner Anderson. Commissioner Smith, and then Cynthia Wilkerson, and then Commissioner Linville, please.
Just to follow up on what Commissioner Anderson was saying, some of you know I've been on Jefferson County's Planning Commission for the last 8 years, and we've looked at this issue quite a bit in Jefferson County. We actually have a lot of preserved lands in our county, a lot of it done by the local land trust. And one of the things we're finding, you know, especially in our county, but I think it's true in Western Washington and hopefully becoming more true in Eastern Washington, properties that are close to natural areas and open spaces actually gain in value over time. We found that, I worked at Snohomish County most of my career, and we found that to be true too. Those are considered amenities for when people are choosing where they want to live and work. Yeah, you know, those green spaces are a value. So there's, when we talk about cultural heritage, there's a cultural heritage from yesterday, but there's a cultural heritage we're creating today for into the future. And that needs to have these open spaces and wildlife areas. You know, I think it's not black and white. And then the other point I wanted to make is I'm thrilled to see that these areas are incorporating tribal values and tribal cultural heritage, because let's face it, those, you know, people that were here first on the land, they have their cultural values that have been largely eliminated. And to the extent we can help restore some of those, I think that's a real value to the community. So I'm thrilled about these spaces.
Thank you, Commissioner Smith. Cynthia Wilkerson?
Thanks, Chair. I was going to allow Commissioner Linville to go first, and if any other commissioners wanted to speak, and then I'll go.
Okay. Go ahead.
Do you want me to go ahead, Larry?
Yes, please.
I am so tempted to talk about cultural character because it's my favorite topic. But I will just say briefly, Commissioner Baker, I hope you never stop bringing it up. And I just echo a lot of what Commissioner Anderson and Commissioner Smith said. So I'll move on to a different topic around this because I think it's been very well spoken. So I really appreciated having a breakdown of the funding that purchased the various portions of Scatter Creek, because it brings up in my mind, how are we going to, you know, we get a lot of pushback that we are, you know, sort of taking in hunting and fishing interests above the 95% of, you know, the non-consumptive users, I'll call them. I'm sure there's probably a better term that I could be using. If anybody has it, please tell me. But so this is a clear reason why those values are always present at the table. And I think we need to figure out how we talk about that, because this is a clear reason, and we need to, I think, really work on our strategy for, okay, these lands were purchased with this funding that may, you know, so that hunting and fishing values need to stay at the table. But then how do we bridge that when we are getting money for conservation in the form of, you know, teeny species or whatnot? So then we get funding from other pots to manage. And that's actually a very, I never really thought too much before about sort of that puts us into a conundrum around that. And I think we need to be really thoughtful about how we talk about it and about how we honor both the pot of money that purchased the land and the pots of money that we get to conserve after purchase. And I'm sorry, I'm not coming to the table with any real solutions at this either, but it certainly is got my mind sort of turning around on how we do that. And it probably makes me think that I've been overly hard on the department in this issue, because it suddenly seems way more complicated than just managing land. So just a thought.
Brian, did you want to make a comment before I go to Commissioner Koontz?
Go ahead and let Commissioner Koontz go.
Well, go ahead. You got the floor now.
Okay. I wanted to just, you know, speak to Commissioner Baker and Commissioner Anderson's comments. For the record, I'm Brian Calkins. I'm the Regional Wildlife Program Manager. It definitely, you know, as it does you, Commissioner Baker, pains me to think about the impacts that a federal listing has on people, landowners in particular in this case. And with respect to our Centralia Mine proposal, I definitely understand the fear. And one of the, you know, in terms of the fear of introducing a species, there are mechanisms that we and landowners have available through the Fish and Wildlife Service to have some assurance that if a species goes into an area that we didn't expect, that there can be protections for the landowners. We've told the county and city governments that is something that we would definitely support them with and help. And in the case, you know, in just kind of the overall concept, I'm really glad to hear, you know, Commissioner Baker's comments about these wildlife area units being gems, and they really are. But one of the approaches and really the approach that we have available is to acquire land and enhance it with the ultimate goal of delisting the species. And the big picture there is really the impact on people and helping to help at one mechanism to mitigate that.
Thank you, Brian. Commissioner Koontz, please.
A couple comments. I wanted to build on what Brian just said. You know, as conservationists, when the ESA started back in the early 70s, you know, we went down this species approach. But, you know, in the 50 years since, conservation really for the last two or three decades now has realized, you know, it's really a landscape level game. But we're sort of stuck with the legalities of a species approach. And so I think, you know, we can always look for ways to soften that approach in practice. As Brian said, you know, to emphasize that what we're trying to do is delist these species. There are things like safe harbor approaches that I know Cynthia and others in the department have worked on. And so I think, you know, how we handle the PR around the, you know, the legality of species, but the more we start emphasizing that our goal is really landscape recovery, really ecosystem recovery, you know, the better off in the acceptance that we'll get. And then I want to say something about the community character. You know, I think that like Jim said and Barbara said, you know, I think really we're not talking so often about community character as we are community consideration. And I think that everything the department does, you know, we need to take the local community into effect. And when we make decisions as a commission, you know, what we're really trying to do is find the common interests. And we don't just take a poll, you know, because we want to be fair to people. And when we talk about community, really the community is, you know, there's a spatial hierarchy, right? There's the local community where the project might be taking place, but eventually we roll that up to the Washingtonians or the community. And so, you know, as commissioners, it's this tough job we have to find, you know, good governance of a commission, in my viewpoint, is finding the common interests, but yet keeping the consideration of all the communities in Washington and then finding that balance. I think that's our job. So I think, you know, so much of what we do really isn't community character as it's community consideration at all the spatial levels.
Thank you, Commissioner Kuntz. Cynthia, did you want to wrap up? I got Commissioner Baker with her hand out. I see your hands up.
Yeah, I'll say a couple of things and appreciate that. Really enjoy this conversation and enjoy hearing from the commission and your thoughts that this evokes. Wanted to mention just one really clear additional thing with regards to the federal listings and the impacts. One of the main things that we can do is work before federally listing to prevent federally listing. So the Western Pond Turtle is a place where we have an opportunity to do that potentially and maybe to avoid the regulatory implications of that that Commissioner Baker was talking about. And similarly, with the land acquisition and the habitat restoration efforts, that can help us recover these species and remove the regulations associated with the listing. So just wanted to mention that that's a big piece of what we're doing in this landscape level, but also just wanted to really appreciate the conversation around community character and local engagement. And, you know, this is the world we live in, right? I so appreciate the passion that land management evokes, because there's really nothing more critical to the community, the character of a community, than the character of its landscapes. You know, those landscapes shape our identity as people and the relationships and memories that we have with our families and our communities and all of those things. And so it should be a really good, in-depth, robust discussion. It should evoke these passions. And so I just appreciate the acknowledgement of that and the engagement, and also really, really appreciate the ability to highlight this body of work. And welcome to our world, Commissioner Linville. Absolutely. It is not easy. And I saw Derek just smiling and nodding his head when you were talking about maybe it's a little more complex. And just remember, this 21 pages of goals and objectives, we have less than two FTEs to do that body of work. This body of work deserves, it's incredible what Derek and his team, and I will tell you, Derek is emblematic of the 33 wildlife area managers we have across the state. And I'm super passionate about them and their dedication to the land. And so just see that and see that what we're trying to do is explain, you know, the complexity and work to increase the value statement of these lands and what we're trying to do and increase the capacity to do those good works that we're already moving really great amounts of good work forward, but at really a penny on the dollar of the need.
Thank you, Cynthia. Okay, Vice Chair Baker, you have the last word. We're coming up on a hard break.
Unmute yourself, Barbara.
Sometimes when we speak, we go through paragraphs of words to say a sentence or two. And I wanted to give you the executive summary of what I was trying to say so that there can be no misunderstanding. And what it is that it was to note the difficulty of the decisions that we make in some time. And, you know, I, at least for me, I think it's very important that we don't flip our mandate and that we are paying attention to preserving and protecting species. And what the point I was trying to make in a sentence is that sometimes in doing that, all we can do is provide habitat. That's what we can do. And that's what we have done here in Thurston County. And it's not rural, urban. It's not any of the simplistic divides that we bring up all the time. What it is that sometimes there is unmitigated sacrifice on the part of public or private citizens to do what we have to do. And we need to just acknowledge that and appreciate that. Then the last thing I wanted to say is tagging off of something that Lorna brought up. Cultural heritage does move forward too. And the point I was trying to make is that after all the prairie wars that we had here in Thurston County, at this point, I think that with all the dedicated management that Cynthia was talking about, the excellent work that's been done, at least in the circles that I move in, this is something that is way appreciated by the people of this county where it wasn't 15 or 20 years ago. And so I just want us to have that in our minds that sometimes we just have to do habitat. Sometimes private interests are going to suffer. And hopefully in the future that the decisions that we make will be valued by people looking back on them. That's my point. Thank you for letting me conclude.
Thank you for the final word on that. It is now 11:02. How about we come back at